It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamariye, I'm good, thanks, Rachel, but that damn sun keeps shining and it won't rain.
I know. It's hard to enjoy the nice weather when it's not necessarily doing what we need it to do for the environment at the moment. How are the water restrictions that we've just seen come through on the weekend? Have we seen any successes?
We did get a drop on Sunday, for example, first day after we instituted the mandatory restrictions of 9 million litres less than the previous Sunday. So that's about a 2% drop. Actually, we need about a 5% drop.
Right.
And, I mean, look, I have to confess, first weekend away, I did go down to the beach on Saturday, and the weather was just fantastic. It was like we were still in summer. And that's the good side of it. The bad side of it is that, the lake levels keep dropping currently by about 2% a day on average.
Mm.
So we lose 1% every 5 days. So we're currently sitting at about 43.8%. full,
mm-hmm.
and that's dramatically lower than normal. Normally we'd be up around 75.
Yeah, that's a big drop.
People said, oh, May, it always rains in May, and I was listening to one of the guys on the television the other night, one of the news readers said, always wet in Auckland. No, not this year.
Not this year,
and it's just relentlessly dry, and it's a real worry.
It isn't interesting point, though, because we've had droughts in Auckland before. Obviously, this is a very exceptional one, but we've touched on this a little bit with you before, Phil, but are we going to see changes in the way that perhaps houses are built? Are we going to be seeing things like water tanks and collection systems be something that we're starting to think about more seriously as a widespread thing with new builds in Auckland?
Yeah, I noticed in the Hobsonville development, a whole lot of the houses there have tanks to take the rainwater off the roof. And then that either drain, I mean, there's two purposes to that. One, when it really rains, it stops the water, rushing into the stormwater drains and causing major problems there. But secondly, for any of your outdoor stuff that you want to use a hose on, garden watering, washing your car, etc., you can use the tank. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And I've asked council to look at how we can remove any barriers that might stand in the way to people having their own storage tanks. Now, I'm a classic example. I've got 80,000 litres worth of water storage at home, off my home and my garage and my barn. So we are totally self-sufficient. We don't take a drop out of it. And I know that, our tanks are full at the moment, notwithstanding the drought, because just one day's rain a couple of weeks ago was enough to fill them. There's a hell of a lot of water that comes onto your roof.
Mm.
So I think we need to encourage that. We've got to look at demand management at the moment, but equally supply is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And we've upgraded the treat. We get about 150 million litres a day out of the Waikato. Now, that means that it never runs out. And that's the most resilient supply of water that we've got in the city.
Mm.
And we're increasing that by August by another 25 million litres a day because we've upgraded, we've had a project running for a number of months now to upgrade the treatment plant to do that. What we'd ideally like to do is take another 200 million litres a day, which would mean that, 50 to 60% of all Auckland's water could come from the Waikato.
Right.
But we've had this enormous problem with it just takes forever to process the resource consent under the Resource Management Act, and we've had a resource consent lodged for 7 years.
Mm.
Now, over the last months, I've been writing to the Minister for the Environment and phoning him to say, look, this is just crazy stuff. We know that with climate change, we're going to have more and more droughts. We've got to increase our resilience of water supply to Auckland. You need to change that act.
Mm.
And he's been sympathetic, so we've just got to see
what
comes out of
that. A little bit.
But, that's something I've actually been on to Watercare about for a couple of years. Hey, we actually need to do something about this. I didn't predict that the drought would be this severe, but I knew that we need to have that backup. We had the problem with the tempest a couple of years ago where our dams all silted up and cut back our capacity there.
And we just have to generally start thinking about sufficient ways of keeping our water going, the climate's changing as well.
It's a fundamental human need. So we're doing a whole lot on the supply side. So we've got a new bore that's it's an old bore reopened in Pukekohe with a temporary water treatment plant there. We're using the Hayes Creek Dam, which is at the bottom of my farm, which could produce about 1 million litres a day, and building a new water treatment plant for that. We're using non-potable water, things like the Three Kings Aquifer, that construction companies can use or water blasting firms can use, so that they're not taking water directly, treated water directly out of our storage. So working on the supply side as well as the demand side, but the main thing we've got to rely on at this point of the piece is we need the damn rain.
Yes, we do. So following the restrictions is very good to do. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Level 2. We are, of course, in it right now, and that means that we're seeing some more public spaces reopen. Libraries in Auckland, we're having about 33 of our libraries reopening tomorrow. What's that going to look like? I'm assuming it's going to be not business as usual.
No, it'll be a bit different. So about two-thirds of our libraries will open tomorrow, which will be much welcomed by the Auckland public. We have about 500,000 visits to the library a week in Auckland, to the libraries across town. So we've opened, we'll be opening tomorrow, a range of libraries spread right across the city, so that if your local library isn't open yet, you can go to one that's nearby. But what do you expect when you go there? First of all, you'll need to check in. That's part of the contact so that we can contact you if there's any outbreak. And we're using QR codes, so you'll need your smartphone there. But if you don't have a smartphone, staff will be able to help people without those to complete a form, and they'll have to do that manually. Hygiene measures and physical distancing. So first of all, hey, if you're feeling unwell, don't go to the library. Actually, don't go anywhere. Stay at home. That's really important. The limits of number of people allowed in the libraries at any one time, and that'll depend on the size of the library. We've rearranged furniture and public computers so that you'll have safe spacing. There's no need for, apparently, to quarantine the books themselves. That's on guidance from the government and the library sector. But staff will nevertheless be using gloves to handle all the returned items and follow hand washing techniques, hand sanitizer, all of those other things that you'd expect will have in place.
With libraries, and this does apply to other public spaces, but libraries are a particular focal point for people who use them as community spaces to, I guess, rest or also just spend some time. I've seen that the recommendation is that people only stay for about half an hour. Are you imagining that this is going to be perhaps a tricky one to enforce? Is maybe not the right word, but to keep an eye on at the moment?
Yeah, there'll always be some issues there, and people use libraries for a whole lot of reasons, obviously to get the books and the magazines and all of the things that you can loan from the library, but they go there for free Wi-Fi, they go there to use public computers, but you also get, in some of our libraries, people that are homeless. This is a safe, warm place to be. So there may be some issues there, but obviously, with the need for physical distancing, we can't have people sort of spending the whole day at the library because that will otherwise lead to queues at the door, etc. So, our library staff are well accustomed to dealing with people and, to be tactful and polite and encouraging. But we will need to, have a restriction on the amount of time that people can spend there, particularly if there's a queue of other people wanting to get in and to use the facilities.
Well, it'll be great when we can get back to a level where those facilities are just able to run as they normally are, won't it?
We're heading in the right direction. Still following the how many cases today, and it's more often than not, it's been zero, and that's good news, but we're all also conscious of the fact that there could be a second wave.
Absolutely.
And the way to deal with that is to, have the precautions that we're putting in place for our facilities. By the way, our swimming pools won't be reopening because of the drought for some time. And the other community facilities will be staggering the opening of them. So, a range of service centres that will be open. I won't go through all the list of the libraries, the community centres, art venues, venues for hire and customer service centres, but a lot of them, some of them opened yesterday, a lot of them opening today and tomorrow and Thursday, and then we'll progressively open the whole lot. But swimming pools on hold as a water conservation measure, and council is a major user of water across the city, so you know there'll be a lot of things that we stop doing. If the council building looks a bit grubby on the outside,
it's just going to have to stay like that. Exactly. Just
a bit like my car.
Very briefly before we let you go, obviously the government just announced their budget last week, and they've put a lot of emphasis on jobs, and part of that being the COVID long-term response to the economic downturn we're going to be seeing. Are you pleased to see that for Auckland as a city? Do you think that's going to help us?
Yeah. Look, jobs will be to the forefront of everybody's minds over coming months. We know that the jobless numbers are going up, and they're going up quite rapidly. We hope that it's not going to get anywhere near the United States stage, where 20% of the people are unemployed, but it could well be around the 10% mark. So the extension to the wage subsidy scheme, really important. $1.6 billion going into trades and apprenticeship training so that people can redeploy if their area is not an area that can provide employment anymore. We still need people in construction, so we can deal with that shortage there. The $1.1 billion environmental jobs package, but you know, for Auckland, 8,000 new public and transitional houses, not just for Auckland, but say we pick up a third of them, that's 2,600 extra houses that will be built in the coming few years, and God knows we need that, and we'll need it even more with more people on income support with the recession caused by COVID-19. So some good things in the budget. You know, $50 billion, well, it's called a once-in-a-generation budget, and it'll have to be because we won't be able to afford to do that every year. But I think if you look at what the economists and the business sector are saying, generally really supportive of it, because this is the rainy day that the, you know, government has generally been saving for. Mm-hmm. They've been cautious in the past when they've been using their savings to pay down the debt. Now they're using it to sustain New Zealanders and our community, and I think that's appropriate. But it can't last forever, and of course it has to be paid back. So for the next 10 years, we'll be paying back the huge debt that we're building up, but it is the right thing to do.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, and hopefully we'll have had a little bit of rain between now and then.
Yeah, let's pray for rain. It doesn't look like it on the Met forecast that I've been looking at.
Cross our fingers then.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks,
take care.
Bye.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
It was.